a lot. I don't know if he'll share this, but, you know, just like running, I'm sure, just on a few hours of sleep and all that. So can we just extend your hand out to Pastor John? We just want to pray for him. Father, we just want to thank you for our dear friend and skipper, our leader at the helm here. And we just pray for just an extra measure, an unusual measure of your grace. Father, would you give him the grace and authority and insight to release your word in our midst. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. I may need to get new glasses. I can't see everyone. I thought we were going to have a full house. It looks a little empty. Are the youth here? Yeah, all right. Some are downstairs helping. Yeah, it's been a long day. Took off from upstate New York, Horseheads. My sister asked me, John, what do you think about when you hear Horseheads? I go, you know, The Godfather? I go, yeah, okay, The Godfather. I'm not going to explain it. Our daughter, Jonna, she's been dancing since she was 18 months, and she's, I think, finally wrapped up her dance career. And so she's been dancing all through college. And I've never seen her live, in person at Cornell. And so when I found out she's going to, her group's going to have a dance presentation show, I said, I got to go. My mom went, my sister went, Suzanne went. They've always gone up every spring. And so I thought, oh, no, I don't want to miss this. I don't want to see it on my iPhone just a few seconds. So we drove up yesterday, and it was marvelous. I mean, it was great. And so she's the leader of this group, organized it, did the rehearsal, did the program. Just a lot of background work, and she danced, she choreographed, and so that was just such a joy. And my mom, she's 94, so she loves her grandkids, and to spend time together. And then we took off early to do a funeral. Tom's mother passed away on the 23rd on Saturday, and so they just had a family funeral in Herndon, and I told them, that's why I'm dressed this way. I've done a lot of weddings and funerals, not a lot, but some. This was so rich and personal. I was prepared to give a regular length message, but when Alex said, these are the family members that wanted the eulogies, I counted 11 family members wanted the eulogies. Siblings and grandkids, and it was so touching, and it was just very moving. It just reminded me of Bob Jones's encounter with Jesus, and the question that's asked in heaven is, did you learn to love? And I would say Tom's mom learned to love tenaciously. I mean, she was a very fierce, courageous woman. Came up with 4 C's for her: clarity, conviction, courage, charity, caritas. And you could tell that she was a woman of love because the daughters-in-law said nice things, genuinely. I mean, that's the test of real love. She took the daughter-in-laws as her own daughters and a son-in-law like Ted as her own son. And then we saw Steve and Diana with 6 kids. And so I've been so blessed to just witness Jonna and her dance, witness the Guos coming together. I even sort of told Tom, Guo, you got to make a movie of your family. This is such an incredible immigrant story, just a rich family, you know, story. And so the past 2 weeks, I've been blessed by being a listener, being a witness. On Monday night, I had dinner with a North Korean defector, and she was telling her story, just amazing story. And then on Wednesday, I spent time with Dan for a few hours, Dan Bauman. And something he said really struck me that's applicable to all of us, and that is And we're just, you know, eating and chatting. And he goes all around the world doing DTS and basically sharing similar stories. I just don't know how he could do that. I mean, for me, I can't even look at my sermon notes. After I'm done, I mean, I don't, they're someplace, but I never go back. I've never re-preached the sermon, like an old sermon. It's like eating, you know, really old food that's in the refrigerator and it's moldy. Like, I don't want to eat that. But Dan goes around, bless his heart, he tells these stories, and they're very powerful stories. But he says, I only have one message. And he said that the message he carries is, my constant awareness of my need of God. I go, Dan, you know, that is so key. And that's so hard for us to do because we don't want to be in need. And Dan's really rallying against this American notion of self-sufficiency. Even Christians believe that they need to be strong. He's so opposed to that because that blocks the power of God. That blocks the grace of God. And that's why humility and dependence is so key to our lives. When you're feeling weak, hang on. That's the key for power. Whenever you feel you're going to fall apart without God, that you are in that place of strength. Okay? And so especially for our young ones, if you feel insecure, if you feel like the future isn't, you know, bright and clear, that's actually a good feeling because lean on God. Whenever you feel afraid, lean on God. Whenever you feel weak, lean on God. And so we need to be okay and actually cultivate our need for God and be okay with it. But our brains, our emotions tell us, I don't like this feeling of weakness. I don't like this feeling of vulnerability. I don't like to be in need. But talking with Dan, he says, I tell people I need you. You know, so he was up in Cornell after couple of years of planning because the leader of Youth with a Mission, Lauren Cunningham, had prophesied to Dan many years ago, you're going to be preaching at Cornell, and he just thought, well, how is that going to happen? And then a few years back, we were talking, I said, hey, John is up there. She's part of some university leadership. She could probably ask you to come. And so everything was set up, then COVID hit, and so he was up there for a day. And when I followed up with Dan, he was so excited. He said, haven't you talked to students? Go, yeah, but this time, first time at an Ivy League, you know. there's been words for the Ivy League for sure. And I knew that was one of the signs for me. I was actually in Toronto when we went to this conference. I'm praying and I see fire light up where all the Ivy Leagues were, like fire. I go, Lord, you are going to bring revival. And God's going to bring revival to many places, but especially these places where you have future leaders. And you have a lot of international people. And so you have future leaders touched by the power of God. What will happen? Well, you'll get, you know, Apostle Paul's. You'll get these folks. God uses all kinds. So I've been blessed in the last few days. Just mainly as a listening auditor, you know. And one of the things I watched that blessed me, we're going to show this, is PI. Okay, I just checked about 10 minutes ago. He's got 207 views. Not 207, 270, 207, 207,000. My math is bad. Close to a quarter of a million viewers in 10 days. Okay, and so I'm watching. I mean, I lived part of it, you know. Like, I mean, he's the one who lived it. But I remember that there's certain things that seared in my memory those few weeks when I came to church and our conversation on prayer, and to kind of introduce the topic for today. I just want us to watch just five minutes, okay, from the 23rd minute, and it'll end at the 28th minute. If you have not seen this, please, it's very easy. Go on YouTube. put IDE space VIRIYA, and then it's come up. And I told Jonna to look at it, and I'm going to ask her to share it with her friends. What PI is sharing is, unfortunately, I'm going to talk about the spiritual power conflict. That is going to be just a regular part of life, okay? This is not some cool, weird, super spiritual story. We have entered into a time and a place where spiritual things are almost part of everyday life. It may not go by that name, but there is a lot of battles going on. So please, let's watch this. Let's pray for healing. Open your mouth, I, in Jesus' name. You got to watch the whole thing. Aya doesn't mention people's name, and that's good. But Linda, who's in the AV, was the one who really sincerely shared from our heart the love of Jesus with P.I. before he was P, you know, just regular I, good Buddhist I. And I remember that Sunday when he came in, and we were worshiping, and I just felt cold wind just swirling around people. Just very unusual Sunday. And so after the worship stopped, I just kind of took a little time out and say, hey, I just want to describe what some of you guys are feeling. That's the demonic. There's some cold swirls around people. I just want to let you know, you know. And so after the message, P.I. gets some prayer. He comes up and he says, you know, I've been feeling that cold swirl, but it's not outside of me. It's inside of me. And I knew what that the significance of that was. The unclean spirits were inside of him, and he was being tormented. And so then in the following weeks, you know, we said, why don't you come to the house, you know, and, you know, we can do a little Bible study. And so it was the middle of the week, and so he came and, you know, we introduced Jesus. I mean, the only power to get that stuff out is Jesus. And at this point, the Lord had ready P.I.'s heart. I mean, he was just hungry for help. You get the background story in the video. And we prayed. Following week, he comes in. And I could tell he was still cold, because at that time in spring, he was still wearing his hat and glove. He was cold all the time. And so I just asked him, you know, like, what's going on? He goes, well, I still feel cold, but it's no longer inside of me. It's outside of me. And I'm inside. I'm going, hallelujah. I told him, that's good. That's good, because I knew the demons are now out. They're oppressing him, but they're not inside. So we prayed again, and that's when the heat occurred, right? And the lights thing, it didn't shock me. I was so glad. And so this whole electrical kind of interference is common enough. John Wimber used to do conferences in California and other places, and sometimes he would go like this, and the whole side of the auditorium will fall down, and the buildings will flash on and off. The actual electrical currents in the building will go on and off. And a prophetic man named Paul Cain had told John Wimber, there's going to be an earthquake when I come, and there's going to be an earthquake when I leave. And so John Wimber said, okay, what date? He said, it doesn't matter. You choose the date. And whatever the date you choose, when I land in L.A., there's going to be an earthquake. And when I leave, there's going to be an earthquake. You know, I mean, that's, and sure enough, John Wimber is now terrified of this man of God. And when he does land, there's an earthquake in Pasadena. When he leaves, there's a huge earthquake in Armenia. And so the earthquake is also all over the Gospel of Matthew. Whenever there's a transition, there's an earthquake. Jesus is raised from the dead, there's an earthquake. Okay, and so whether it's electricity, storms, earthquake, these could be signs and wonders, signs of God's presence. Okay, and so here is I. He didn't go to any conference. It's not like I was moving with electrical power, impartation. It's the Lord meeting I in his need. Okay. He wasn't even a believer, like a bona fide believer. He was on the cusp of that. But as soon as he became a believer, God moved in tremendous power. Right. And so as I was watching that just about a week ago, that memory came up. And one of the thoughts I had back then listening is a mental note, I think you are called to move in such power. I mean, I never told him that. I told you guys last week, and we pray very briefly. And again, this is just my association. This is such an unusual thing. Because I could have felt the whole thing without the lights going on and off at all. I mean, that's almost unnecessary. He feels the warmth. The demons are gone. He wakes up the next day, and it's bright and beautiful, a brand new day. That would have been worthy of praise, too. But there's this extra dimension, the classroom lights, the street lights. And I remember back then thinking that's the sign of God's power. And perhaps I's going to be called into a calling or ministry or life where such power will be necessary. Okay? And that's what I want to talk about. The power of the Holy Spirit being necessary. Okay. After the North Macedonia trip, Suzanne and this young lady have been emailing regularly. And she's, every morning, every day, she's having supernatural encounters, angels, you know, lights, and, you know, just. And so we're recommending books to her. And then I told Suzanne, I said, well, Suzanne, if you're going to help her, it would be good that you become a seer too. You know, if you are going to help someone move in like healing ministry, it would help that you actually move in healing. If you wanted a deliverance ministry and you want to coach somebody, it would help for you to be someone who's familiar with that or who has a ministry that way. And so, you know, I told Suzanne, well, you know, in our church, you know, I think a few people who are seers, but perhaps the Lord wants to open your eyes too, right? Okay. So these are the thoughts I have in sharing this passage. So I want to read this passage. This is from Acts 8. Okay, so Acts 8 means it's after Acts 2. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. The gospel is moving in Jerusalem, in Samaria. And then in Acts 9, you have Saul's conversion. But here's this interesting episode in Samaria. Verse 9 of chapter 8. Now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. Okay, Samaria is north. It's a mix. Some paganism, some Jewish tradition. But it's a mixed group. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. Okay, that word sorcery, what is that? He probably did some healing, some exorcism, some wonder working. It's not just prophesying, fortune telling, but whatever this man moved in, he moved in powers. Dark powers. Okay, now, watch I's testimony, because prior to receiving the Holy Spirit, he would see shadows, the drawers would move, doors, sounds in the house. You know, the spiritual activity attended I way before he became a believer. Those are spiritual powers. Okay, and in the ancient world, and in our present world, there are powers, some of which can be felt and experienced. Okay, so he moved in sorcery. Verse 12, but when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter. Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, and he said, "Give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you have said may happen to me." After they had further proclaimed the word of the Lord and testified about Jesus, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. So here's this recognized man, recognized as someone who moved in great power. He sees a greater power, and he's just working from his worldview that spiritual powers can be bought, can be imparted. The impartational thing was generally understood. If I move with some power, I could perhaps give it to you. If you give me some money, I could. So that was the common understanding. And that's what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. He's explaining the spiritual gifts that come from one spirit, not many spirits. And so the pagan understanding is these spiritual powers can be given by the laying on of hands. Philip sees it. He thinks this is pretty cool, so he offers to buy it, and Peter rebukes him. Your heart is not right. Simon, unfortunately, gives birth to two names. Simony is a name for trying to buy church office with money. So if you type the word Simon and put the Y, that goes back to the Simon. Simon the sorcerer will become known as Simon Magus, the magician in church tradition. He's said to have led a heresy and opposed the church in Rome later. And the followers of Simon were called Simonians or Simonians. And so Simon will appear, not in the Bible later, but in church literature later. So he ends up kind of in a bad place. Okay. Now, what does Simon recognize? Well, he was a man familiar with spiritual entities and powers. And that is so often the case. When people dabble in any kind of spiritual powers, they are actually much more attuned to the Holy Spirit and angelic activity. It's very rare for someone to be familiar with, let's say, witchcraft as sorcery or shamanism to become anti-spiritual. It's almost always that they become much more sensitive to the spiritual realm. I had a friend in college who was severely demonized, and he went through some deliverance, and after he got delivered, he would have the gift of discernment. Unfortunately, he was helping out a psychiatric ward, and he would tell me that some of the people walking down the hallway, I see demons, I just want to grab them, put them in some room, and just rebuke the demons and leave, but you know, he couldn't do that, hospital policy. And so there is a spiritual reality. But the spiritual reality is not the big news. The big news is God's desire and readiness to equip sons and daughters with a greater spiritual reality. When we're in North Macedonia, especially in conversation with this young woman, Suzanne and I recognize this is a growing phenomenon. Suzanne's been watching on YouTube Hungry Gen. It's a pastor out in Washington State. He's actually a Ukrainian young guy. And there's a guest speaker, a Korean guy named Hyuk, who was mentored by a well-known prophetic man in Nigeria, T.B. Joshua. And they have so many deliverance sessions. And he does it over the YouTube or, you know, on FaceTime and stuff. And I have not seen such a flare-up of the spiritual dimension spiritual warfare. Okay, again, this is an area I used to do a lot, not by choice, but in college, like 87, I wasn't even a deliverer. I mean, I just was part, me and Shin were part of a deliverance of a young lady, young, you know, 16-year-old. But I don't know how word got out, but I would get calls from a pastor in Chicago, and he goes, "Hey, I heard you do deliverance. There's a young guy I want to bring up to you from U of Chicago." I go, and I try to explain to him, "I don't do this kind of stuff. You know, you got the wrong person." But we don't. I can't find anyone. His comment is, "I cannot find anyone in U of Chicago or any of the campus ministry to help me. But at least, can you meet with him?" I said, "Sure." So he, wonderful pastor, brought up this young man. So me and Shin gathered, we prayed. He looked better, you know. And then when we did mission trips, short term, there was always deliverance in Africa, in China, in Turkey in 2011. Every day was some deliverance. And when we had Grace Retreat, there were every summer at least 6-7 kids, you know, will need deliverance. Why? Because the worship was so intense, the Spirit of God was moving, that the kids who are demonized will actually manifest that, you know. And so we had a protocol, like we don't want to embarrass the kids. And so working with Pastor Q, I would train the team for deliverance. Are we going to, when we're worshiping, leaders, I want you to keep your eyes open to the kids. And if they're they're falling and it looks strange, call me, and then I get called, and then we will pull up the student out of the auditorium into a quiet room to set them free. One time, Helen and I prayed for a young man. He was into fashion, and usually when we do deliverance, the person is consciously aware, but this young man was knocked out, and he got delivered. So there was a season where it was just, that's, you know, again, this is something that I did never desire, but at that time, I was always aware of it. And then I would get calls from local, from ODPC and other churches, you know, like once your name gets associated with something, they think they could just dial you like 911, hey. And so I would go to churches in Northern Virginia, you know, College Park. You know, and so that lasted for a season. And for the last 7-8 years, it's been quiet overall, all right? It's been quiet, to my delight. Like, I don't like to deal with this thing. But now it's gone way beyond my preference. It's become a reality. So many of our young people, especially, even if they don't know it, are in bondage to demonic powers. Addictions, violence, hatred, gender dysphoria, confusion, anti-Jesus, anti-church, suicidal thoughts. I mean, it's just the demon and the devil are having a heyday. And, again, I do not want to glorify the dark powers. And God is ready to set people free. And God wants to use you. Right? God wants to empower you. Okay? And I don't want to do a long teaching, but it starts with the right heart. Okay? Now, what's wrong with Simon's heart? Simon's heart was wrong because he thought he could get spiritual gifts through money. And Simon made money displaying powers. So ultimately, he wanted that power so that his business would be better. Okay? So the spiritual powers was for himself, for his, what we would call ministry. His ministry. Okay? His business. Whenever we approach God for ourselves, our heart is already off. Lord, I want to be a prophet. I want to do this so that I can be a conference speaker, so that people will look up to me. If you have those thoughts, your heart is already misaligned. You're seeking God's power for your glory. And that is abominable. That is terrible. That is something that God will be disgusted with. The only good reason to seek power is, one, you need it for yourself. I need deliverance. I need healing. And the other good reason is you are moved with compassion for those who are in bondage. For the sake of others' welfare, you're moved by it. Now, closely aligned to that is the advancement of God's kingdom. So we need to start with a pure heart. Because even if you were to get gifted initially, the impure heart will lead you astray. You will become jealous of people who are more anointed than you. You will misuse your gifts, and you will end up hurting people. And that's why the purity of heart, humility, right intent, it's so important. Peter just points out that thought that you have, Simon, is wrong. The thought. He's just got an inner thought. And then Peter gets a prophetic insight. It's your bitterness, and you're captive to sin. He doesn't spell out what kind of sin. Like, that ungodly thought is rooted in your bitterness and the sin. You got to deal with it. Peter's saying, look, God is gracious. If you want to move with such power, and if you, by laying on your hands, you want to release the Holy Spirit, that could be up to God, but you got to deal with that stuff in your heart. Okay? Because love and power always go together. Love and power are never separated in the Gospels. For the compassion that Jesus had, he moved in healing. He never used to show off. But where there is tremendous love, there will be tremendous power. Okay. We got to focus on the power of love to ground us. When we have the power of love, then it will drive us to be equipped to set people free. And that's my appeal to you. Look at your children, look at your friends, look at the young people. If your heart is moved, then you should be empowered with maximal power and authority that the Lord will grant you. Because that's what love would ask. That's what love would seek. And so, because God's power and love are never divided in Jesus, never divided in account, likewise, we should never divide it. Glory is never equated with self-glorification. Glory that's only worthy is the glory of God. But what would drive us for these things is really the love that God has for people. And so I've been praying, like, Lord, I've been doing this deliverance many years ago, and if I just count the number of people, group setting, you know, I would say maybe about 300 people. I mean, that's not a lot because you did a lot of groups from like mid-80s to now. Like, John, how did God use it? How many people got set free through either group or whatever? This many years ago, I was trying to add. I go, whoa. 300. Kind of mental note. I wasn't trying to, because I start with this as someone not that interested in this area. Like, personally, I love the prophetic most. Healing, that's decent. That's good. I mean, it sounds so strange, right? Like, I know Shin moves in healing, and some people love healing. I mean, I like it. Don't take me wrong. I don't hate it. I like people getting healed. But I don't pray about, like, healing. Give me anointing for healing. I just, unless I'm sick, you know. But for whatever reason, I just, maybe because of Bob's influence, you know. But healing never was the number one thing. And definitely, bottom of the list is deliverance. Because it's messy. You know, I get attacks and it's confusing, and then It's like dealing with garbage. I mean, and sometimes when people puke and spit over, it's just not pleasant. It's not a pleasant experience. Yeah, the end result is good. They're free, but the whole process involved usually is a bit smelly and messy and Ghostbusters, I got slimed. You know, I just don't like that. But now I'm getting more mature. I say, Laura, who cares about personal preference? If the young people, and we told the young adult in North Macedonia, we said, this is such a need globally speaking. We were kind of talking to her, prophesying, I see you as a speaker to set young people free all over. This is happening in Seoul. This is happening in Los Angeles. This is happening in Europe. This is happening all over. And so, because of that conversation and because of what I feel what the Lord is doing as a church, we want to be in the right position with the right heart. Okay? And it's not just the spiritual dynamic. It's not just the deliverance thing, but power. Now, this passage is really interesting because the people in Samaria, it says, and this is maybe you could tease out the theology a bit more. They were baptized in the name of Jesus, but they were not in power. Like, how is that possible? Okay, if someone was sincerely baptized in the name of Jesus, doesn't that mean salvation? Like, how can you be sincerely baptized in the name of Jesus and not be saved? So the word that's kind of clue is the Spirit had not come upon them. And so the people here were baptized in Jesus, meaning had they died that night, they would be with the Lord. They sincerely believed in Jesus. They confessed Jesus as the Lord. They were baptized, and so the Spirit gave birth, but they did not move in power. The Spirit of God did not come upon them. And so the way the Spirit ministers to us is first in sonship or daughtership, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. That gives us our saving relationship. The people baptized in Jesus' name, they had a saving experience. Abba, Father, but they did not move in power. And so through the book of Acts, you see the pattern. They did not receive, they were baptized, but they did not receive the Holy Spirit. The apostles pray, and then boom, speaking in tongues, signs and wonders, the power was displayed. Okay, so this is one of these passages where there is that distinction. Just because you're baptized in Jesus' name does not mean you move in power. I mean, there is power. Now, with P.I., he got both of them at the same time. As soon as Jesus came in, Jesus began to expel the demonic out of his system. Okay, and often that does happen. Somebody brand new comes in, you pray in Jesus' name, you explain to them who Jesus is, they accept Jesus, and in combination, there is tremendous power. So they get the two packets all at once. But often in churches in America especially, because we don't fully embrace the dimensions of the Holy Spirit. Suzanne and I were driving from Ithaca back here to Virginia, and so Spirit-filled full gospel church. And Suzanne said, look, it's a Spirit-filled full gospel church. And I'm thinking, okay, I hope that's true, because many churches are Spirit-empty half-gospel churches. I mean, that was a thought I had. Like, if you actually advertise your church in a true way, I would say most of the church is in Spirit-filled full gospel. It's like Spirit empty, Spirit sometimes, Spirit kind of, half gospel, because the full gospel means the fullness of the good news of Jesus Christ and the fullness of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Okay. And again, this is very important for us to understand. This is our obedience to the revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as taught by Jesus, as demonstrated by the apostles. So there's a fullness of the gospel and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And the fullness of the Holy Spirit is what God wants for every son and daughter. There isn't anyone where the Lord Jesus, God the Father, says, you know what? Just half, fill half. There isn't any. That would be cruel. Like, why would the Lord Jesus, having died for you, give you half? He wants to give you full and in abundance. So what we're saying is it's not about personal preference, but it's understanding the nature of God's work on the planet and the nature of God's love for God, for people, not just God's people. And let's just focus on the next generation. God's love for the next generation who are being gripped every day by darkness. And God is saying, I so love them. I want to empower you to set them free. And I want to empower young people to set their friends free. Because if they're not set free, they would die in bondage. They would die in despair. They would die broken up. Okay. Sounds all dramatic, but it is. In the past few weeks, there are three student athletes who committed suicide. One at Wisconsin, one at Stanford, one at JMU. They're outstanding students. Yes, there's mental illness and depression, but what is going on? What is going on? They're in bondage to wrong thoughts. They are in bondage to despair. What is going on? And it's happening all over. I don't have to tell you what's happening in Japan and Korea. They have one of the highest suicide rates. What is happening? God is not happy. So how are you going to set these folks free? Yes, counsel. Yes, love. Yes, friendship. Yes to all that. But if there's an element of the demonic, you and I need to be equipped to deal with that. That's an element. If I have cancer and the cancer doctor, the oncologist say, you know, I just do one part of cancer. I don't do the whole thing. What are you talking about? Yeah, I don't treat you completely so that you get healed. I treat you like 50% and then you got to go to somebody else. You know what? Can you point me to someone who could just treat the whole thing? I want to go to the doctor who could treat me for the whole thing. And God wants to equip all of you. Okay, I'm not going to make this sermon. All of you right here today to treat the whole person. It's not about personal preference. It's not even about your personal history. The question is, do you want to be equipped? I just feel this kind of question welling up on behalf of the Lord Jesus to ask you. It's not that complicated. Do you want to be fully equipped? Okay, let me just back up. You said yes. Those who already are tracking with me, yes. But if you're like, oh, what is he talking about? Let me just back up the question in terms of rationale. Do you like to see the next generation? It could be all people, but let's just focus on the next generation. Do you like to see your own children and your friends of your children set free? Enter into the fullness of life. Do you want that? Anyone says, no, I don't want that. Let me just embarrass the heck out of you. If you don't want that, raise your hand. No, okay? Right? You want that. If it's a matter of a yes or a no, it's yes. So if that's a yes, the follow-up question is, do you want to be equipped so that you could be an agent for healing and deliverance? And not somebody else. It's a question to you. Do you want to be equipped to set the next generation free? Okay, let me ask, and then you just respond, yes or no. Do you want to be equipped to set the next generation free? So that's where we start. We start with our heart, with understanding. This is not about John and church, my glory, my business, make a cool business card and put, you know, some kind of name, you know, Ghostbusters, whatever, you know. It's not about that. It's not about that. It's not about writing books and making movies. You know, I get jealous of, oh, he got 207K. I can't pronounce the numbers. I'm going to beat him, and in 5 days I'll have a million. It's none about that at all, you know. It's like, Lord, while I live on the earth, would you use me to bring hope and healing and deliverance? Simple. And for me, I say, Lord, if you want to revisit the demonic stuff and do some deliverance through me, even that, Jesus, I'm open, okay? If you could add some more prophetic, then I'm good, okay? So this is what I want to do. I believe God's at work, okay? God could be at work without a lot of bells and whistles. Okay? And so this is how I want to just close our time, okay? You've answered yes. I want, for those who answered yes, I want you to be in a position of receiving. Just open up your hands, okay? And the picture I got as I was preparing for this is a picture of money. Like, old-fashioned way of receiving money is I actually give you cash. You know, a lot of $100 bills. Here. These days, you know, people usually don't give that way. It's like PayPal or Venmo. Okay? The point is, you have it in your bank account. If I give you cash, you could take it to the bank and deposit it. But somebody could also direct, you know, direct deposit to you. So even as we're praying, think of it as a deposit made into your bank account. Okay? This is an act of faith. God's going to fill your bank account with spiritual power and authority. Now, not every day do you need to pull out the ATM, use the ATM and pull it out. But when you do, you know there's money in there. You know there's money in your PayPal, money in your Venmo, money in your bank account that's attached to your Venmo and PayPal. So confidently, you send money to a friend. If you were thinking that you had no money, you wouldn't be sending it. You would say, wait a minute, I don't know if I have enough money. But if you know you have $1 million in your account, you could easily Venmo somebody $73. Okay? And so I believe the Lord is going to fill your bank account. And when you're in need, know that the power and authority in Jesus' name is there. So your job is to punch your passcode at the ATM and pull out the money. Just do it. Simple prayer. In Jesus' name. Okay? This is the power of faith. Trusting in his goodness. God does not need persuasion. We don't need to persuade God to fill us with power and authority. He wants to do that. It's our hearts. It's our hearts that's right. We want to bring healing and hope to people. And so, Lord, we want to bring glory to you, not about us. We want to advance your kingdom. So just open up your hands. We'll just wait. And the Lord may encourage a few of you with some physical sensation. I've always liked that. Lord, tell me you're here. Okay. So as I was praying for this week, I just saw people just waiting with simple faith and the Lord just breathing on them. Touching them, whether it's heat or electricity, just the sign that the Lord is on you. You may feel it on your nose, your face, and your hands, top of your head, back of your shoulder, your neck. But that's just an encouragement to you. Okay? But even if you don't have any sensation, faith in God's will and goodness means that he's depositing it. So, Lord, I just come right now, and I thank you that we are at a place as a church to receive this word, and our young people can understand you enough to understand that without you, we are in trouble, to understand that there are dark powers outside, Lord, that's trying to kill us and destroy our lives. So we say first, Lord, for every single one of us, we rebuke the work of the enemy. We align ourselves with Jesus. We say no to any spiritual agreement with the side of darkness. For every youth member, we are praying the same thing. We say no to the lies. We say no to dark powers. We say no to anything that's touched by the dark powers in Jesus' name. Whether you know it or not, that's okay. You're just saying this to the Lord. So I want young people to just agree with me, okay? Just say, I say no to dark powers. So all the young people, just say quietly, I say no to dark powers. Just say that right now. I say no to dark powers. I say no to dark powers. And I say yes to the power of God. Young people and everybody, just say, I say yes to the power of God. I say yes to the power of God. I say yes to the power of God. Now, Lord, I just ask that you would highlight authority in Jesus' name. Every power from the Holy Spirit is released by the name of Jesus, the authority of Jesus' name. So I ask for a revelation of the name of Jesus, which is a shorthand way of saying the revelation of the heart of Jesus, who Jesus is. So this journey is not about killing things and destroying. It's really a journey about a revelation of the heart of Jesus. The more we see you, Lord Jesus, the more we are going to be moved by your love. The more we see you, the more hungry we will be for your presence, regardless of ministry content. Even if we were not to minister at all, the revelation of who you are will move us to be close to you. So I pray for a revelation of the name of Jesus, which is the heart of Jesus, the person of Jesus. Now in Jesus' name, I release dreams and visions. I ask, Lord Jesus, for this thing called a panoramic seer anointing that this man, James Maloney, moved in. And so, we'll start with the seers to begin with, people who see the angels and all that. We'll start with you, and for those who've seen in your mental eye or even with your physical eye, spiritual realm, both angelic and demonic, this is just for you. I'm just gonna ask in Jesus' name to upgrade it, increase it, expand it, upgrade every seeing gift in Jesus' name, every seer gift in Jesus' name, because where we are headed, we will need to see into the darkness. We will need to see the angelic and the Holy Spirit, the throne realm. We need to see it so that we would know how to pray. We will need to see it so that we outsmart the enemy and we're not always reacting, but we can initiate things. So I pray for those who are already gifted or called into this realm that you would upgrade them in Jesus' name. Now, for those of us who rarely see or see the angelic or the spiritual realm, I ask for opening of eyes, Lord. Just open up our spiritual eyes so that we would begin to see in our dreams, that as we're praying, we would have open visions, that we would pray, and almost like a mental movie, that scenes will be played out, that they would see things while they're driving without crashing the car, of course, just seeing as they're walking. For those who are brand new to this, and for those who are called to see, I ask, Father, in Jesus' name, to release that right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I just pray for something that we've already seen a lot of, but we need more, clearly, and that is the power and anointing in the healing realm, both inner and physical. So for every single one who is compassionate, who has a heart to see people healed, both in mind, body, and soul. We ask, Father, in Jesus' name, to release a fresh $1 million deposit of healing in Jesus' name. Healing increase in Jesus' name. Healing increase in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for the prophetic. The realm of the prophetic is not just word of knowledge, knowing things that you don't know naturally, but also wisdom. Wisdom for connection, wisdom for conversation, wisdom to know what book. So I ask, Father, in Jesus' name, this whole large category of the prophetic be released. Prophetic intercession be released more in Jesus' name for the nations and especially for the next generation. Release it for the marketplace. Release it for the governmental issues. Release it in health. Release it in Jesus' name. Prophetic wisdom as well, Lord. Prophetic wisdom. That's what Jesus moved in. Solomon moved in. Release that in Jesus' name. Wisdom that shows up in everyday affairs, Lord. Wisdom in Jesus' name. Grant that to our kids in school. Just wisdom directed towards insight and truth in Jesus' name. Now lastly, Lord, as we're moving into this with faith, we ask for many, many layers of protection so there is no fear or concern about enemies' attacks. So I remove every thought of anything fearful. I just remove it in Jesus' name, and that the Lord will protect you. The Lord will protect you. So I ask for the cross of Jesus to overshadow us. I pray for the blood of Jesus to cover us every day. I ask for the angelic host to cover us so that we move like children freely and joyfully. And when there is a demonic thing that we discern, we could just quickly call it out and their activity is canceled in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus.